Joseph is very bewildered, confused. This whole proposition of his young lady that he was engaged to having a baby with no relationship for sure with him and any other man, if she could trust his word, left him pretty staggered. He had a lot to lose. And an angel of the Lord came and visited Joseph and prepared him for what we celebrate tonight. And in part, the angel says, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. You are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew is recording all this, editorializes in the next verse and says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, you've probably at some point read or seen the play of Charles Dickens, the famous play, Christmas Carol. And certainly, whether you've seen the play or not, who hasn't heard of Ebenezer Scrooge? And it's Christmas Eve. It's late. Ebenezer Scrooge is retiring to his home to sleep. He's full of humbugs and as grumpy as they get. And you can hear his clock sound 10 times, chime that it's 10 o'clock at night. And then in the play, it's a very wonderful literary device, you can hear, you can't see the character, but you can hear the night watchman as if out on the street outside his house. And he is calling out in the neighborhood, 10 bells and all is well. 10 bells and all is well. And of course, it's a very ironic moment because within a couple of hours, we're going to find that for old Ebenezer Scrooge, things are not very well. He's going to be haunted by his past and terrorized by the future. All was not very well for Ebenezer Scrooge that night. I wonder how things are with us tonight. Is all well? We'll soon be at 6 bells. Is all well? Certainly we look in our world and we realize that on a daily basis we very much are living in a post-9/11 world yet that is not very well. Even in our nation, our own Christmas celebrations have been punctuated by murderous shootings and rampages, whether it be a mall in Omaha or a ministry center in Denver or a church in Colorado Springs or a bus stop in Las Vegas. Look at our nation. Say, boy, all is not well. Possibly even our own lives. Let's bring it right down to where we live tonight. Nearly 6 bells on Christmas to begin Christmas Eve. Is all well? Maybe not. Maybe our lives look like a disaster area tonight. And we're hoping to escape it with a little fun and a few gifts and some time with our families. Or maybe that's the problem, time with our families just reminds us what isn't well. Of course, I love the story of the little boy who was learning just about Christmas and the Christmas story, and he kept hearing about how Mary and Joseph, there's no room in the inn, so they went into a stable, and they had to lay the baby Jesus in a feed trough, a manger. And finally, he said, Daddy, what is a stable? And Dad kind of thought for a minute, and he said, well, it's sort of like your sister's bedroom, except without a stereo. Maybe that's what your life looks like, sort of a mess, kind of a pig pen. And who of us can really look at our hearts honestly and say all's well in our lives? And then we have to figure out, what do we do with that? What do we do with all of that? And of course, our culture gives us lots of options, mainly escapism. I don't know if you ever visited Disneyland down in Southern California. We lived about 20 minutes from Disneyland for many years. We could hear the fireworks in the summer about 9:30 every night. And we had season's passes. I took my daughters to Disneyland many times. And I would always notice the sign over the entrance to Disneyland down there in Anaheim, California. It said, as you walked into the heart of the park, it said, here you leave today and enter yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasy. Escapism, that's anything but today. The nostalgia of yesterday, the excitement of tomorrow, and the fantasies that we can create, all to avoid, to escape the reality of what's not well in our lives right now. Of course, there's lots of tools for escapism, whether it be whether it be intoxicating ourselves or overly medicating the pain, or whether it be overly entertaining ourselves so we just don't have to think about the way things are. Or maybe if you're not doing the escapist thing, you're buying the self-help books or spending most of your time making money so you can buy your way out of all that's not well in your lives. I don't know. In a congregation, this auditorium full of people tonight, there's probably all kinds of ways in which we're trying to, first of all, answer the question, is all well in this Christmas Eve, and then try to figure out what we do about it. And yet we are here tonight celebrating God's solution to the wellness issue in every one of our lives. Oh, Pastor, don't go oversimplifying things here. And after all, it's Christmas Eve. Tell us something nice. I want to tell you something great tonight. That when that angel came and said to Joseph, Mary is going to have a miracle child. It's going to be the Messiah. It's going to be my step, God's saying, into your world. He said, you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sin. And then the second Christmas name Matthew gives in that next two verses, where he said, this is just like the prophet wrote some 800 years earlier, a virgin will be with child, give birth to a son, and his name will be, and here's the Christmas name for Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. I love that name, Emmanuel, that Christmas name for Jesus. It means that we're celebrating tonight the fact that we can actually live a God-filled life. I don't care what you face. I don't care how empty you may feel inside. I don't care whether even life is just exactly where you want it. It falls so short of what the potential of a God-filled life can be. Emmanuel, God with us. Ralph Stockman put it this way. The hinge of history is found on the door to a Bethlehem stable. And God came through that door. And he's coming right through the door of faith in our hearts tonight. Right to step in. Whether things are well in our lives or not, here's what can be true of us. That we can live a God-filled life. You will call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. That's the Christmas name for Christ. The other name that he gave to Joseph directly, the angel of the Lord did, was the name Jesus. The Christmas name, Emmanuel, God with us, and Jesus. That's not to me so much the name of Christmas as the name of the cross, because Jesus means he shall save his people. It literally means Savior. Every time I say the name of Jesus, I'm reminded that when it comes to wellness, when it comes to the things that are not well in my life, I am not fully capable of fixing me. I need a Savior. And the angel said so clearly to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, for he's going to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. He's going to save you from your sin. It's our sin that makes a wreck out of the rooms of our lives. It's our sin that makes us answer, honestly, all is not well. My self-will, my rebellion, the uncleanness, the things that keep me separate from God, that keep me chugging away on my own strength and empty. When God says, I want to be with you, I want you to live a God-filled life. And so we need not just an educator and not just an economist, because it's not more money I need. It's not, he didn't just bring a social worker for us, as wonderful as those people are. We ultimately needed in our relationship with God, we needed a Savior. And so Jesus stepped into our world. And he was born, he took on a body so that 33 years later, after his birth, he could go to a cross, from a manger to a cross, and there to be the sacrifice for our sin, there to satisfy anything God would hold against us for our wrong and our rebellion against him. There he became the human and living sacrifice for our sin, your sin, my sin. And it made possible when he rose from the dead. See, he was born miraculously, but he defeated death miraculously when he rose from the dead. It is God's great statement to us that I can be with you and I want to be with you. because I've come to save you, to do what you can't do for yourself, to forgive your sin. And so he invites us to come. The humility and simplicity of the story of Christmas is so amazing, and it just kind of coaches us that that's how we meet God, in humility and simplicity and honesty, sometimes painful honesty about what's really there in our hearts. But you can live a God-filled life. I want to invite you tonight to move past Christmas tradition. I want to invite you to an encounter with the living God who can forgive you, who forgives our sin and comes into our lives and makes us brand new. Jesus said it would be like being born all over again. Him born in our hearts. So, Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. Lord, no matter how we may answer the question, is all well? We thank you. You've come to be our Savior so that we could live a God-filled life, God with us. My God, let us not miss that. Let us today open our hearts to you. We confess and repent and turn from our sin and our self-will and our own way. And Lord, we thank you that you have come to be the Savior of the world and to forgive our sin. Come and forgive us tonight. And Lord, as you were born in this world physically 2,000 years ago, we pray that spiritually you will be born in our hearts tonight. We welcome you. We say yes to you. And we thank you for the renovating change of a God-filled life that's going to begin this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.